Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Well, our area gets failing grades on the way we manage our money, and that is not a good thing. Why is that, and what can be done about it? Well, we're going to talk about some of the issues involved. My guest is Matt Schultz. He is the creditcards.com senior analyst, and this was based on a study of the United States, our population, and the way we handle money. And unfortunately, D.C. is really bad off. Tell us, we're the second worst in the nation, Matt?
Yeah, D.C. was the second worst in the nation, but your neighbors in Maryland and Virginia were right there with you. Maryland was actually the worst, and Virginia was actually the fourth worst. So you're in good company in that area.
Okay, so now this is, tell me what was encompassed in the study.
Well, what we did was we compared each state's average credit score with its median income. And the reason we did that is to kind of look at the conventional wisdom that people who have more money tend to have better credit scores. But we found that that is certainly not always the case. And Maryland, D.C., and Virginia are perfect examples of that.
So we've got money, but we don't know what to do with it. So you looked at the money management, but tell me how did you do this? I mean, that's kind of a daunting task. Are you looking at the spending patterns? What are you looking at? Credit card loads and so on?
It was simpler than that. Really, what we did was we looked at where the states ranked in median income from 1 to 51. And then compared it to where they rank in credit score and kind of figured out the math that way.
Okay.
We applied a couple of assumptions in there, but it was largely a look at the national ranking between median income and credit score.
Okay. So my credit score then, of course, in a generic fashion, would have been a part of what you looked at in terms, I'm going to have to talk to these other people for bringing our states down. Anyway, we're going to have to work on doing better. So you look at the credit scores, which is an indicator of how you handle money, and it's the prime way that lending decisions are made to consumers. Am I right? I think
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So credit scores are a very important thing to consumers, and it behooves us to understand what's in them and so on. So you take a look at them, and you find that Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, we are just poor spenders. Now, what are there reasons? What do you attribute this to, Matt? When you look at something like this, what does that say to you?
Well, honestly, there can be as many reasons for a bad credit score as there are people with credit scores. But generally speaking, the things that are the most impactful on people's credit scores are missing payments, even going as far out as bankruptcies, and then just having too much debt compared to how much credit they have available. And those are really the two most important things. There are other factors, including not applying for too much credit in too short of amount of time. But really, all the other factors pale in comparison to your payment, your history of making payments on time, and your utilization ratio, meaning your debt compared to your available credit.
Well, now, there are a lot of things that I'm never sure whether they're fact or myth.
Sure.
Saying that, you know, you should close out old credit card accounts. And then it seems that prevailing wisdom was changed and people are saying, no, keep the credit card, keep those credit cards, because that means you have more exposure to credit, but yet you're not utilizing it. So the maxing out your credit cards, that is a more positive thing over more credit cards than it was if you just had one credit card was maxed out. Is that true?
Yeah, it can be. When you
iffy.
Kind of get into the weeds a little bit, it can be a little daunting. daunting. When it comes to the decision of canceling a credit card versus not canceling it, generally, if the card does not have an annual fee, you're probably better off to just keep it. Because what that card does is it adds both to your available credit, meaning that it will probably help your utilization rate stay low, but it also adds to your length of credit history. So the more cards that you can have that you have handled successfully for a longer period of time, the better off you are. Now, if that card has an annual fee of $80 or whatever it is, and you never use it, then cancel the card.
Because that's a waste of money, yes.
Because you're throwing money away.
Right.
But one other option might be that you could call that credit card issuer and see if they would waive that annual fee if you'll keep the card.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can negotiate those sorts of things.
Okay. Well, that's really good advice for consumers. Keep an eye out on the type of card you have, whether or not you're having to pay for the card itself, because there are a lot of credit cards that are free. And sometimes that doesn't mean that you have to be using it all the time. So your recommendation then for consumers is, look, if you've got several credit cards out there, don't worry about going out and canceling them unless you're finding yourself utilizing them and maxing out all of them and getting into debt problems. I guess that would be the best advice.
Yeah. I mean, if you're worried about canceling the card, really, like I said, the best thing for you to do is see if there's an annual fee. And if there's not an annual fee, you're probably better off just holding on to it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of our area, our region, and specifically, for example, Maryland. Now, Maryland was the worst state for consumers managing their money, but it has a very high income. What is it? We're like the second or highest median income in the United States, and yet we're right down at the bottom when it comes to managing that income.
Yeah,
it's pathetic.
Interesting. There are lots of different factors that can go in. And for example, Maryland has one of the five highest average credit card balances in the country.
Really? So we like to live beyond our means. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and it's also interesting there because, you know, when you look at a $4,800 credit card balance, that may not be as daunting to somebody who is living in, you know, the D.C. suburbs and making a good amount of money as compared to somebody in a smaller state with lower median income where that could be really, really daunting.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some of that where people who make a little more money might not be that concerned about carrying a little more balance.
But that still comes out as a negative when you start looking at their credit scores?
Sure.
Yeah.
And it all depends on how much, you know, your credit limit is, because if you've got $10,000 in available credit and $5,000 in credit card balance, then that's a big problem credit score wise.
I see. Okay.
But if you've got lots and lots of different cards and plenty of available credit, it might not be as much of an issue.
Gotcha. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Matt Schultz. He is a senior analyst with creditcards.com. And we're talking about the miserable scores that our metropolitan area got in a national study involving how we use our credit. And obviously, we're not very good at managing our money. Maryland being the worst, followed by Alaska. Well, no, I think D.C. was second, right? And then Alaska, yep. And then Virginia, and then Texas. So
Correct. That's
not a great place to be. Does that speak to future problems for consumers, Matt? Or is this something that's been going on and people are maintaining these high credit loads and managing? I mean, I don't really know quite what to make of this. I'm a little surprised at it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, on a broad national level, we've seen credit card debt go up fairly steadily since the Great Recession ended, and for the most part haven't seen a whole lot of sign of, you know, of reaching a tipping point where people are having a hard time making payments or bankruptcies increasing or that sort of thing. But when you get down on a state-by-state level, it can be a little different thing, especially when, you know, for example, Maryland has an unemployment rate that's roughly about the national average, but D.C. and Alaska, two of the, you know, other ones that scored badly, have higher unemployment rates. And any time you're talking about having debt, having a low credit score, you are just a job loss away or medical debt away from being in some real trouble.
Well, now, so we really need to take a serious look at this. Does this, is this something that is of interest to our state governments to look at how our residents are spending money? Do we need to do more education of our consumers? I don't quite know what to make of this. I am startled. And also, for example, I think Montana was the state that you gave the that had the highest credit scores in the country, and they were 32 points higher than what you would expect based upon the median income. I mean, that's really remarkable. So it says to me that Montana is doing something right and we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, and to kind of get to the beginning of your question, I'm somebody who really believes that there needs to be more education when it comes to some financial basics, even just having kids understand about the impact of, you know, when you don't pay your bills, the bills keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger because of interest. And then some also some basics on credit scoring and the ramifications of what happens when you don't pay your bills. Mm-hmm. I think that that's an important thing that hasn't been done yet, at least, you know, at least in most of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's the appetite for that in various state or federal governments is a whole other question.
Well, I'm not sure
but
that's
personally,
the place.
But personally, I think that there should be, at least in the homes, parents
right.
should be doing a better job of explaining this stuff to their kids.
Well, you know, I don't know what the school curriculum is these days, but as I understand it, we're really not teaching kids to manage money in school either. So you're right. It has to come from the family. And so that means we need to sit down and take a close look at how we're spending money, how we're using credit. And you know, our whole, I mean, I always say that we're fortunate to live in the United States because our economy really is based upon credit and it's based upon having good credit. I mean, how many people could buy a house or a car if they didn't have credit? And, you know, so we need to think of it in those terms that this is one of the most positive assets that you can have is a good credit score.
Yeah, and a lot of people are afraid of credit, and understandably so. After the economic issues that the country faced, a lot of people have been scared away from credit and credit cards and that sort of thing. But it is an important thing to know and to have a handle on and to be able to manage well, because it opens up a lot of things for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can save you a lot of money over the years if you're somebody who has only rented and wants to buy a house because, you know, your family is growing. But if you've never had any credit, you're going to pay a whole lot more money for that mortgage or for that car loan than you might if you had spent some time establishing a decent credit record over the years.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, that's exactly right. And you may not be able to make that purchase and you may not be able to rent that apartment. Nevertheless, even buy your condo or your house. So, it credit is really something that's just, it's integral to the way we live. And yet I wonder sometimes if it's easy for people and they just use a credit card and they don't really think about how much money they're going to have to pay out at the end of the month. At any rate, I think it's certainly something that's worth discussing and looking at. Now, let's go back and look at Montana, which did the best in the country, in spite of the fact that its median income was much less than you would have expected. Is that because of austerity? Is it because of low cost of living? Can you pinpoint some of the reasons?
Well, it's difficult to pinpoint. For one, some of the factors surrounding that the state's residents are positive. The unemployment rate's lower than the national average. Their credit card balance is lower than the national average. Even their average age of the Montana resident is older than the national average, and that can have an impact too, because since length of credit history is a key factor in credit scoring, the simple fact that you are older means that all other things being equal, you're probably more likely to have a high credit score than someone who's young.
I see, unless you've abused it along the way.
Of course.
Okay, now let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Matt Schultz. He is the senior analyst with creditcards.com. And we're talking about the surprising findings that our area, our metropolitan area, is the worst in the nation in terms of managing money. That does not say good things about us, but we live well. maybe we're on the edge. Who knows? But now going back to the whole education business, I've always found that consumers really get into trouble when they start loading up credit cards, buying, and over holiday spendings, vacation spendings, those kinds of things. And then we hear about all the scams, Matt. I don't know if you're aware of all the stuff that's going on out there, but there are the online things that say, well, we're going to eliminate your debt. We're going to get you out of all this debt. You don't have to pay your IRS bill. I mean, there's so many scams. And as far as I know, that's not possible, is it?
No, most of what you hear,
dream on, right?
In ads, it's the old thing that your mom and dad used to tell you of, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And the reality is that with most of those credit repair sites that advertise on the radio or TV or wherever don't do anything for you that you can't do by yourself on the phone if you educate yourself a little bit.
Right.
Because as much as they say that they can get rid of negative things on your credit report, the fact is that they probably can't if it's accurate. And if it's inaccurate, meaning that it shows a late payment that you didn't actually make or something like that, then you can do that yourself. You can have that removed yourself without paying the kind of iffy third party any extra money.
Well, and the what we hear from consumers is that they run up debts with these companies that are going to help them eliminate their debt, and nothing ever happens. And so they're out that money as well, so they're farther behind than they were when they started. Yes, you're absolutely right. Anyone, if you don't have access to a computer, you can go to the library. Get the librarians to help you look up information on the things you need to know about managing your debt, what your rights are in terms of contesting. I always recommend to people that they go to freecreditreport.com, where they can get an annual credit report without any charge from each of the three bureaus. And I tell people they should do that once every 4 months. Go to one of those credit bureaus, get a credit report, then 4 months later, go to the other one. And that way you keep track if there's any strange things going on. And, Matt, to me, especially in this day and age when we've had so many databases hacked into, and the fact that this data has been compromised and millions of people have lost information, and we're not necessarily seeing the effect of that right now, but we're going to, because that information is out there. And if somebody has your Social Security number, bank account numbers, or whatever, they've got the keys to your kingdom in a sense. So that's one of the reasons I tell people to check their credit records all the time.
Well, and I like to compare it to make an analogy I think a lot of people can relate to. If you live in a neighborhood and one of your neighbors gets their house broken into, everybody in the neighborhood for a few weeks, you know, locks their doors, installs floodlights, and is very, very vigilant. But then when things are back to normal for 6 weeks or so, everybody kind of relaxes. And that's when the bad guys can come back in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very similar with identity theft, where we hear about these headlines with Target and Home Depot and places like that, and everybody's super vigilant for a while, but then when they see that nothing has happened, they let their guard down, and the bad guys can just be patient and wait you out. And that's why it's so important to go to places like we offer free credit reports and credit scores at my.creditcards.com, but there are other places as well. And it's so important to just keep an eye on things, even when there's nothing going on in the news.
Now, I want to distinguish for our listeners that we're not talking about your credit rating. Or your credit score. We're talking about your credit report, what's actually in your records. Generally, most places will charge you to give you a credit score, which is how they evaluate the way you use credit and how a lender would evaluate how you use credit. But your credit score, your credit record tells you what kind of charges have been made, whether or not the things that are reflected in your credit history are accurate. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And for as much talk about credit scores as there is, the credit report is far more important because it's the underpinning of your credit score.
Right.
And if there's stuff that's wrong in your credit report, it's going to potentially damage your credit score and cost you money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why it's so important. And also, particularly for people who've had their information compromised. You know, you were mentioning some of the private industry, but my gosh, there's been a tremendous amount of hacking into government databases where hundreds of thousands of millions of people have lost information. And that is going to be around for a while, and these people cannot let down their guard. And I always say, even if you have a identity theft protection service, it is not foolproof. You have to be the vigilant one.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And nobody cares as much about your money as you do.
Amen.
Or should. So you are the one who is ultimately responsible for making sure that you see when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm. That is so well put. And again, people can get free copies of their credit report. And keep in mind, as Matt said, that is not your credit score. Credit scores are, you know, they're variables that go into that, the way that lenders look at credit scores. Don't get hung up on your credit score. Get hung up on making sure that your credit record is accurate, and looking at your credit record is the best way to detect if somebody's using your information and you don't know about it, because, boy, that can be a scary thing. Matt, how can people reach you? This information is at creditcards.com.
Yep, all of this information is at creditcards.com, and we've got plenty of information to help people make smart decisions about getting credit and using it. And you can also sign up there and get a free credit report and free credit score at my.creditcards.com.
Matt, thank you so much for being with us today. Very helpful, very interesting. We got to work on these numbers for our region. Thank you again for joining us. And we hope you, our listeners, have learned something today, that you've enjoyed the program. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is shirley@callforaction.org. So send me an email, shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you for joining us, and hope you have a good week.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.